a few things about how we are called by Jesus, and then I want to spend today and the next 3 weeks after today on how we are called, because we are all called by Jesus. And I would like very much for us to grasp some of the things about that that affect our everyday life. Because often we think of a calling as something that is overwhelming and large and changes your life one way or the other. And it does change your life, but there are some things about being called by Jesus which are everyday. And you may recall, some of you, that last week we looked at the situation that Israel was in, which is kind of a calling, as it were. At a point in the history of Israel, the king of Babylon, actually sent by God, took every person in Israel, took the whole country, picked them up, carried them off, and took them to Babylon. And there they were in the middle of that. And that, amongst many other things, is indicative of our current situation today as the church in America, where if you know a foreign nation has come and carried every one of your countrymen off, everyone who's in your nation, they're taken away and put into that other country, and you're in exile. You do not have a lot of influence in that country. You just don't. You are somehow in servitude, or maybe you don't have the vote. Who knows? But you just have no influence. And it was in the middle of that that God told Israel, I know the plans I have for you, plans for hope and for a future. And with that, he said, go and you'll build businesses in Babylon, marry Babylonian people, and seek the welfare of this nation. And of course, that was very strange to Israel. But we are in that same situation as a church, where we have diminishing influence in society all the time, just all the time. It slips away day by day, where we just do not have the influence anymore. And yet God says in the middle of that, I know the plans I have for you, plans for hope and for a future. Seek the welfare of your community. And that's how that begins to open up. So how do we do that? What does it take for us to do that? And that, we saw, was to abide in Jesus. And of course we realized we don't know what abiding is. So we tried to describe abiding as absorbing the presence of God wherever you are. When you absorb the presence of God, something happens to you. And what happens to you is that you, in some way or another, however God has created you to do it, you become a light to the world. And you have an ability given by God to join in with what God is already doing in the community. So we saw all that. In fact, the collect for today that we all read together is that we'd be so filled with the radiance of Jesus, that radiance would come through us, that the entire world would know, worship, and obey Jesus. That's the idea here, absorbing Jesus so that that happens. That's the answer to the prayer we just prayed, if you will. So what I want to do today is begin looking at how Jesus calls us into that position to relate to him in that manner, to lean into his presence, to absorb wherever he is and take him in and be one with him and he with us. And one of the ways that that happens, the most significant, most common, most repeated way that the calling of God comes upon you is that he calls you right where you are. Right where you are right now. Right where you are today, right whatever your situation is, he calls you. And there's a general calling that comes upon everyone, and it is the calling that Jesus gave to Philip and Nathanael. Follow me. Each and every one of us here, and everyone we know, and all of the people we don't know, have that calling on their life, to follow Jesus. That is very, very significant. So how does that work? What goes on with that? What are the dynamics of that? It relates to us very, very specifically. And one of the things that happened with both Philip and Nathanael is that they were called to follow Jesus in what seemed to them to be a really odd and peculiar place. Where they were standing when Jesus called them was just plain weird to their ears. Just couldn't catch. Why are you doing this here? Why is that happening? You know, Philip, it says, was from Bethsaida, and that's right along the Sea of Galilee, and it's right near Galilee, and Jesus, of course, was from Galilee and Nazareth and all that whole area. That area of Israel was considered, well, you can fill in the blank. not the highest of echelons, you might say. And one of the things that was very strange to their ears was they began identifying right there Jesus as the Messiah. And for the Messiah to come from where Jesus came from was the strangest thing that they had ever heard. In fact, Nathanael, as it reported here in the gospel, says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Let alone the Messiah." What's going on here is what they were thinking. And Philip was taken in by that. He thought that, yeah, there is something here. Jesus is who he says he is. He is the one that he's acting like. And went immediately to Nathanael and wanted to say, "Hey, I think we found him." And Nathanael had the same reaction. "That's strange. What are you talking about?" Until he engaged with Jesus. Now, one of the things that really is, I think, a part of our experience with Jesus is that we will get the tap on the shoulder from the Spirit of God. The presence of Jesus will come some way or another, and it will simply not connect with our image of who Jesus is. He will be doing something that he chooses to do, which will have tied to it the message, "Come and follow me." And we would think that has nothing to do with the Jesus I know. I remember once sharing about this sort of thing, about the way Jesus is, in one of the congregations I was serving. And somebody just in the middle, as some of you do sometimes, of the sermon said, "Well, my Jesus wouldn't do that." Well, I just let that slide instead of saying, what do you mean your Jesus? When did that happen? But we have that. That is somewhere inside. That's fairly normal to start putting God into that position where we can call on him when we want. We can control the way God deals with us. In fact, that's very, very common. And for us to take a closer look at Jesus, we'll have all kinds of experiences where we think, that is just plain weird. That is strange. I've never thought Jesus would have ever done anything like that. That's almost all he does. There's things like we wouldn't think that he would ever do. And that's what Philip and Nathanael were experiencing. And yet they went in with that. They followed that path along with Jesus. So Philip now is going and he's bringing Nathanael along. Nathanael is a little more resistant, so he does say, "Well, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And then Jesus, as you saw, came up to him and said, "Ah, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael probably had some picture of himself as someone who really tried to live an honest life, and Jesus saw that in his heart. And Nathanael's immediate, as you saw, reaction was, "Well, how'd you know that? I've never seen you before. And what I understand is you're from Nazareth. What are you talking about?" And Jesus began opening up how he was walking in the power of the Spirit and said, "You know, when you were sitting under that fig tree, I saw you." Which meant he didn't see what color hair he had or anything like that. Saw into Nathanael. Saw into his heart. saw what it was like. And right away, Nathanael knew what was going on. He said, okay, great. You, even though you're from Nazareth, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. And Jesus takes him up and begins getting his calling a little more specific. But he's calling him right where he is. And says, you know what, Nathanael? You not only are going to understand this, but you are going to see heaven opened. And you're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending. Now that's the clue for us as to why this is a call into Nathanael's life right where he is. It is the activity of the angels, the way the angels are on this ladder. They are ascending and descending. I think you and I, most of the time, would think the angels would be descending then ascending. They'd be starting in heaven and coming to where we are, trying to straighten us out, and then going back, giving a report. Then it's going to take a few more times, but we'll get them. So whatever it might be. Instead, the angels are here. The messengers of God are among us. The kingdom of God is among you, right where you are, whatever your situation is. And the angels take that situation, ascend to heaven, get what's needed, and brings it back to us. Ascending, descending. You see that in the pattern of intercession that we have as well in Revelation, where it talks about an angel who has a censer. Of course, we're not that high church, so we don't use incense and swing it all around, but there it is. And he says, the prayers of the saints, which is us praying from here, ascending to the angel, are collected in that censer pot, and they become a sweet incense to the Lord. And then what the angel does, it's right there in Revelation 5, takes that incense pot and throws it onto the earth. The answer of the prayers are thrown into the middle of our lives. Sometimes those answers are a little disruptive, as you may have experienced already, but that's how that goes. It is always descending, then ascending. Right where you are is where Jesus... Did I mix those up? I'm a little dyslexic. Thank you for catching that. Okay, what do I want to say? Ascending and descending. Ascending and descending. One more time. Ascending and descending. But there they are. They're doing that. And right where we are is where the angels meet with us. The Word of God connects with us. The presence of Jesus starts working in us. And it makes absolutely no difference what goes on with you. It doesn't matter what your experience has been. It doesn't even matter what you really think of Jesus. There was Jesus hearing Nathanael say, can anything good come from where this guy was born? And Jesus' immediate answer was something really good for Nathanael. The call on his life. It comes right where you are all the time. That's what we want to lean into. You know, just right where you are. And it works in a certain way. And it kind of generally speaking, there's not really specific steps. It works generally, but in a certain way. And it would be this. What is the place, the situation in your life that is draining, frustrating, angering, confusing? Or your favorite description of those situations. What is that? That's where Jesus meets you and calls you and says, follow me. That's where he takes what it is, pours his love on it, restores it, redeems it, transforms it, pours it back into you in some way, so that you can go ahead from there. It may not work out the way you think it may work out, but it will still be redeemed in that the way you receive what Jesus is doing is that you're answering his call to follow him, no matter what else is going on in your life. If you have that kind of situation, that kind of circumstance, and you give it to him, and you sense something is changing, but it's not what you thought, he's still answering. And he's still opening the path for you to follow him. And as you follow him, you will be restored. You will be transformed. You will become like him. The radiance of the Spirit of God will shine through you, even if it's not perfect. Even if it's not exactly what you thought it would be. In fact, it's not going to be what you thought it would be. That radiance will still come through. And there will be people around you who will be touched and influenced by that. Even if the culture in America diminishes the influence of the church, you will be a light in the world. And then us together will be a light in the world. And things will go along the path that he is outlining in what he has designed for us to walk in. So what I have for you today is some thoughts, a challenge even, if you will. If you would do this, this is a way for you to connect with the presence of Jesus right here and now so you can start following him. So that you get the sense that in your situation, he is bringing it to heaven and then bringing back what you need. Think of a place that you are with which you are very familiar. Doesn't matter what it is. Your neighborhood, your work, your house, somewhere else. That doesn't matter. And then if you would spend some time in that place just asking God to show you what he sees. Just start praying about that place. And if you can take a few minutes, you can go there this week and take a few minutes or even longer, just listening to the Spirit of God. And then start, as you do that, start noticing things. And what's God showing you about the people who are there or maybe other buildings that are around? Or who knows? Who knows what it is? But then he starts opening it up to you. And ask him to do whatever he wants and use you however he wants as that comes to mind. And then let that keep rolling around. And then maybe you go back and the next week or the week after, a few times over these next 4 weeks when we look at calling, and you do it again, and you watch, and you ask God to show you things, and then you just pay attention. How are your prayers changing? How are your thoughts about what you see changing? Is there anything in that circumstance that's changing? Is there anything in that set of relationships that's changing? Is there anything going on in your life, in that very familiar place, that just isn't all that good? And then the second or the third week in, when you've been going there and just listening and asking God, is anything changing about that set of relationships? All of it. Any of it. How's that working for you right there? That's you being called right where you are, the way Philip was and Nathaniel was. Now, if there's writing in the sky, take out your phone, take a photo, and send it to me immediately, okay? Very unlikely. It's probably just going to be these smaller steps. Follow me. Step one. Okay, there we go. And then you're following Jesus. That, I think, would be quite an excellent thing to do. And what happens is you begin absorbing the presence of Jesus. You begin deepening more and more and more where you are with Jesus. You begin seeing Jesus in places that you think, well, you know, why would Jesus be there? Because he is. And you see something of Jesus maybe you've never seen before. And you see something flow through you you may have never seen before. That's what happens when you follow. If you would do that, and we'll keep watching for that over the next few weeks, I think some things will happen. I have absolutely no idea what they would be, but I think some things would happen. All right, good. If you're going to do that, just shake your head yes. I'm in. No. Okay. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you call us right where we are. We thank you for that love you have for us and desire to lead us in your life. We ask that you would make us responsive to you, help us see you, give us that place to meet you, that which is in our everyday life, so that we may follow you with all that we have. We ask that for the glory of your name. Amen.